want to preach about something that, you know, I'm always trying to find those little things that just kind of hook in your mind and spirit. I want to talk about having a heads up. Now, we know what heads up is. Heads up is really the same thing. To take heed. It's a word we don't use very often, but it's a word of caution. It's a word that says you need to be very careful. Take heed. Heads up kind of comes along, but sometimes it's just, trying to get my attention, but heed. There's all kind of warning labels in this world, and I thought you might enjoy this. I don't know how often they meet, but there is a wacky warning contest that goes on periodically. And I thought you might appreciate some of these, the warning labels that have to go on products that makes you scratch your head. For example, the 2009 winning wacky warning label was for a portable toilet seat. It was known as the off-road commode. And it was for outdoorsmen. It had camouflage padding, and it attached to the vehicle's trailer hitch. But the warning label was not for use on moving vehicles. I guess it didn't have a seatbelt. On a small tractor, the warning label was danger. Avoid death. Brother Darrell, is that kind of speaking to you right now? A hairdryer, its warning labels, and these are real. The warning label on the hairdryer is, do not use while sleeping. An iron-on t-shirt transfer. The warning label says, don't iron while wearing the shirt. You think I'm making this up? This is real stuff. A sleep aid for insomniacs. The warning label was, warning, may cause drowsiness. This next one's scary. A Swedish chainsaw. And the warning label simply says, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. A package, Anthony Hampton, appreciate this one. A package of rubber fishing worms, not for human consumption. Why are you wanting to eat worms anyhow? And then a brass fishing lure with a tri-pronged hook. The warning label says harmful if swallowed. And then for my son and daughter-in-law, they might like this one. For a baby stroller, it says, remove child before folding. Of course, the reason that they have these warning labels is because they spend millions of dollars for these warning labels that are beneath common sense mentality, because it would cost them many more millions if they didn't. The crazy things that we do. Well, the Word of God also has warnings, cautions. I thought I might just read a few to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Another warning, another caution. 2 John 2, 15 and 16. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Another warning label, a caution. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard that was coming and now is in the world already. Of course, these are just a few select warnings, cautions. So important to know God's word, the warning labels. And of course, what happens to those who are ignorant or those who ignore these warnings? The word of God is filled with the love of God and how he supports, how he protects his own. And yet at the same time, it's those warning labels of telling us there's also judgment. When we talk about wacky warning labels, we hear those and we think, who could be so silly? Who could be so foolish? Or the word we use quite often, how could they be so stupid? And yet, how many times is the Word of God admonishing us to adhere to His Word, and yet we ignore? Again, the Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? But again, there's just something about human nature is, well, it won't happen to me. Or, you know, I'll get a pass. Or I'll get away with it. Or I'll stop in time. Just something about human nature pushing the limits. So these cautions are there. We lived in Arizona, as you know, for 5 years. And we lived in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area, which is a valley. It's beneath the Mogollon Rim. And truly, you know you're in a valley because if the smog isn't so intense, you can see in the haze the mountain range east, north, south, west. In that Mogollon Rim location of the desert, they get 6 inches of rain annually. That's all. And typically it happens in July, August, known as the monsoon season. So even though it's 6 inches, most of it never reaches the ground because it dissipates in the arid air. And yet because of that, it still has its old washes, which are dry creek beds, so to speak. And there are warning signs there, huge signs, do not enter where there's water. And yet, every year, you'll see this flash flooding that literally those that do survive it will say, I thought I could get away with it. The water was no more than an inch or two crossing the roadbed, and I could see the other side that was up on a hill. I just thought I could make it, and that fast, that water goes from just a couple inches to feet. If they don't die in that, they get fined severely because you're putting first responders' life at risk as well to rescue. Every time I read scriptures like that and my mind goes toward the heeds up mentality, the warnings, I think about those signs. How severe, how quick things can turn. As a pastor, I make this comment quite often when somebody's going through challenge. I say, boy, how fast a life can change. In just a moment, one decision. You go to bed one way, and by the next morning, your world changed. One phone call, has let you know something's happened to somebody else. Life can come at us fast, so these warning labels aren't always wacky, are they? And even though the first are called wacky, they're there because somebody has experienced them. And so it is with the Word of God. In contrast, I also want to share another passage as my text. It's a verse that will bless you. I want you to stand with me as we read together Isaiah 55. I want to read verses 8 through 11. And I really want you, if you don't have your Bible in front of you or watching the screens, I want you to really let it sink in. If you're a person that struggles with memorization, just focus hard or see the reference and do some homework. And these are certain scriptures that you ought to read till you do memorize. There's a pastor, his name's Jeff Dawes in in Stockbridge, Georgia. He was in my youth group in the early 80s. And before I could find any material on discipleship, I put together my own discipleship program and invited any team that we had to join. The first year I had 12. I wasn't trying to find the magic number 12. Out of that 12, almost all of them went in the ministry full time. Jeff has stayed closest to me, and he has said, those scriptures that, you see, I required that they memorize them, and I gave tests. Can you believe that? Not only was I from the Midwest, when I went to Monroe, Georgia, they called me a Yankee. Some of them had another word in front of Yankee. Who in the world would give tests at church? Don't you think today more than ever we better know the Word of God? Yes. Jeff has told me many times, he said, those scriptures that you made us memorize, this is one of them. It's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. You may be seated. These warning scriptures are powerful, and they speak to each one of us. You got to ask yourself, is it really that important to know the Word of God? And is it important for every one of us? And does it really make a difference in our life? This passage that we just read, we see this contrast between God and us. He said, my thoughts, and I love the expression, could have used any other way, but are higher. We think of higher education. We think something that's outstanding and above the norm. He said, my ways are also higher than your ways. My thoughts, my ways are higher. And if we're going to sum it up, what would we say? God's different. How many of us have been disappointed in our own decisions? How many of us have ever just smacked the back of our head? And sometimes it's funny, and then other times, this week I found out about a family that I've known the family for 6 years. The father made a poor decision this one time. And now, he has been removed from his family and will be separated for 10 years because of a decision. Oh, if he could go back, and not make the same choice. And so here is this importance of God's Word, to realize how important it is and to rely upon God and knowing that His thoughts are higher. Sometimes the poor decisions we make is because we're not informed well enough. And we go back and we say, well, if now that I know, I wouldn't do that again. Other times it's that glaring warning sign, don't do this. One of my favorite signs, and I guess I should have pulled it up because I saved it. It's gone now, but in Griffin, Georgia, it's my favorite sign of all time. It speaks every time I think of it. Down there many, many years ago, the cotton mills that now they had developed a store that they were making undergarments and socks, and so everybody just called it the sock shop. Old brick buildings. And of course, nothing was built to code as they are today. And finally, they thought, well, why don't we set up a store of our own, a brick and mortar across the street? And then they had to build a little walkway out of the factory over to the sock shop. And of course, it wasn't high enough for most of the modern trucks. And so I guess they'd had more than one truck hit that bridge. So they finally put a hanging sign in front of that walkway bridge. And it simply says, if you hit this sign, you're going to hit that bridge. How many times has somebody gone through there, bang, what was that? Oh, I better stop because I'll hit that bridge. And yet so many times we have those swinging warning signs and it slaps us and it still doesn't cause us to stop. We go ahead and hit the bridge anyhow. God's ways are better than our ways. It is this relationship we have the privilege of with God to know that He loves us and cares for us and gives instruction. It isn't a bunch of don'ts that He's trying to keep us from enjoying life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. It is grasping the reality that God is different. It is also speaking that we can think beyond, to think beyond the moment, to realize, if I ask for a raise of hands, how many of you believe that this world's getting pretty dark? Most hands would go up. And yet, the reality is, as we think beyond, but light is more powerful than darkness. In that moment of darkness, we need to stand upon God's Word and say, but my God is light. Well, when I'm outnumbered with darkness, but His Word, another scripture I'd make all the students way back then to memorize, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the Word being in you in those moments becomes salient, radiant, and speaking rivers of living water swelling up to make the difference in the moment, that we don't just have to fall in line with the wacky warning people, but realize, no, His Spirit is speaking to me. We know that light is more powerful than darkness. We also know that truth is greater than error. How many knows truth is in the courts today of the world? Being attacked. But Jesus has told us, the truth shall set you free. It shall make you free. You see, we think beyond. We are human beings. Turn to somebody and say, circumstances. Isn't that where we trip up? Isn't that what gets us every time? We know things, and yet in the moment, the circumstance is, yeah, but she was so pretty. Or he was so handsome. Or there was a lot of money. I can go on with the list of circumstances. That's why we must depend upon His Word to realize that one drop of the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than the accumulated sins of the world. Still capable of setting the captive free. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as the driven snow, white as the fleece of a lamb. Isaiah recorded for us to know that when we do sin, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I asked for a raise of hands, how many of you have a hard time forgiving yourself? A lot of hands would go up. Some went up anyhow. So I'll speak to you, Joni. I remember your name from last week. If we confess our sins, He is faithful for you, for anyone next to you, around here, streaming. If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful. Yeah, but you just don't know how sinful I've been. He does. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm the poster boy. And yet He has forgiven me. But it's the importance of knowing His word. What do I do in this moment? I can't stand myself. I don't want to look in the mirror. I injured so-and-so. I said something to them. Oh, if I could take it back. How many of us open our big mouth too many times? I'm going to put up both hands. All 10 fingers. Both feet. You see the importance of His word speaking to us, knowing that His word is the life changer. In this passage, He tells us another great truth as I close out. It's the concept of God that makes the difference. Who is your God? Is He capable, Euclides, of forgiving you? Does He love you? Does He know you? Does He still love you even though He knows you? You see, your concept of God is the difference maker. If you're ignorant of God, then you're on your own. And you'll never make it. Greater is He that is in me than he that I'm facing in the world today. When I have that knowledge, that concept of God, that He truly is not just this blanket statement, reality in my life, He is greater. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. He is truly all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. The song Tammy sang earlier, God is so, don't you love that big word, so? He is so wonderful. He is so mighty. He is so forgiving. He is so patient. He is so kind. He is so faithful. That's the concept that we can hold on to and know, yeah, that's my God. That's my God. Of all the so's, He is so long-suffering. That's the one that speaks to me. So long-suffering. You know, as I study us, when you talk about some of the vices we talk about, the addictions, you'll have some that just are chronic, and then you got others that are known as bingers. Go a long time and then binge again. Sounds like us, doesn't it? In our sin. I haven't done it, haven't done it, haven't done it. Oh, I did it. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Never have to think, oh, I did it. But His ways are beyond my ways. So I can think beyond and hear His Word bringing us that reality of God's Word. You know what God's Word is? It's revelation. It is a revelation of who He is. The last book of the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ giving us another video of who He is, another picture of who He is. It is that revelation that as it comes out of heaven, it comes down to us and it gives us information. That information, I want to know His Word, because it becomes a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It is that knowledge, that information that's life-changing. And from that revelation to the information, now it becomes my inspiration. I can do this. It's speaking to me. For God so loved the world. That means me. I love the 17th verse after John 3:16. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That revelation, information, inspiration can finally become transformation. I'm not who I was when He found me. Not perfected yet, but He's still working on me. It isn't just that safety net of, oh, I'm in trouble again, so I'll call out in His name. And that's, isn't it amazing that He still will rescue, even though you and ourselves are thinking, I'm so unworthy. But He's cautioning us, He's giving heed to us, but you don't have to keep doing this. If you'll take up your cross and follow me, the life change that comes in following Him, becoming a disciple, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, He's promised life and life more abundant. But I'll close with this. This imagery that Isaiah captured, God speaking to him as the rain and as the snow fall, never to return in the form in which it came. It has come with purpose. I love this passage. Because that rain, that snow hydrates the earth. Without it, there'll be no life. There'll be no growth. Back to the Arizona desert that we knew, the Sonoran Desert. They call it the Green Desert. Because as dry as it looks, as desolate as it looks, saguaro cactus standing there, barrel cactus, jumping cactus, whatever, just that little bit of rain, you go out there the next morning and it is vivid with color. The rain, the snow, it is sent to the earth, and so is my word sent from the heavens. It won't return in the form in which I sent it. It is sent to the earth. This is why we pray on earth as it is in heaven. As He sends His word, we capture that vision. We know what the rain and snow does, the difference that it makes, and then the responsibility and the privilege that we have. He says, because it gives seed to the sower. I wonder how many eaters we have today. Gives bread to the eater. It couldn't happen without the rain. It couldn't happen. Starbucks would go out of business. There wouldn't be any bread in the aisles of Publix or Kroger's. If there hadn't been rain, if there hadn't been snow, and beyond that, once that rain and snow came and hydrated the earth, if somebody hadn't taken the time to sow the seed, and if somebody hadn't been there to cultivate it, to harvest it, and then to prepare it, so is the whole imagery of our life. Stand with me, will you?